This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go. 7:14, Tuesday, May 6th, a tough time of year when it comes to rain. Barry Keim joins us now, LSU climatologist, talk about hurricane preparedness week. But first, let's talk about this weather that is forecast to come in. And what is it about this time of year, Barry, that makes it so prone? You know, I'm thinking of May 3rd floods. We had a couple of them, May 5th, May 6th. You pick the time of year, Cedric Grant's flood. What is it about this time of year?
Yeah, there was absolutely something about the late April, early May time frame that the atmosphere can just come together and throw some of the heaviest rainfall that we've ever seen in this area. It just puts it all together and bam. I wish I knew the answer to that, Tommy. I really don't know, to be perfectly frank. I mean, obviously, this is the time of year when the frontal systems are pretty strong as we're transitioning into the summer season. We still get some pretty cold air from the north moving down here, but now things are really starting to heat up down here, and we can get a very, very unstable atmosphere as we get into the spring. I guess one argument would be, Tommy, is that the upper atmosphere is still relatively cold coming out of the winter season, but the surface temperatures really start to heat up as we start getting into late spring and start looking at summer, and that creates a very, very unstable vertical profile of the atmosphere, which it just makes it that much easier to pop off thunderstorms. And, of course, if you're popping off thunderstorms, there's the potential to produce some heavy rains. But, yeah, we've had some doozies at this time of year, for sure. May 3rd, May 8th, 1998, that was another one. So, yeah, we've had some big ones.
Is there a difference between climatologist and meteorologist?
Of course. Meteorology is the short-term forecasting of the weather. It's really the physics of the atmosphere. Climate basically does everything else, looking at long-term impacts, long-term changes and averages. And of course, those, when I say averages, that could be average return frequencies of hurricanes. So it basically incorporates almost everything else. Now, when you talk about a 50 or 100 year storm, I would argue that's climatology. That's not really meteorology. Meteorology is really just about the forecasting of the weather and how it's going to change over the next hour up to the next few days.
And that was my next question about 100-year storm events, because it seems as though starting back on May 3rd, and I forgot what year it was, in the 70s or whatever, it seems like that was the first one-in-100-year flood event, and it would seem as though, I don't know if it's because the climate is changing, I don't know what's going on, but it seems as though the dam, pardon the pun, burst then, and then from then on we started to get these every 100-year, once-in-a-year rainfalls. Is it about the nomenclature that's confusing there, or tell me, Barry?
No, you're absolutely correct. Just by dumb luck, Tommy, I did my master's thesis on heavy rainfalls in New Orleans.
Did you?
And I looked at this temporally just to see, because this was in the 90s. We had May 3rd and some other really, really big rainstorms across the region. And it's like, is this normal? Or, I mean, let's look at the long-term record and see if there's something unusual going on. And you're absolutely correct. That May 3rd, 1978 storm started us into a new regime, a period where these big rainstorms have become way more common. And you're absolutely correct. And these 25, 50, and 100-year storms are occurring with regularity that makes no sense. Now, what's interesting, though, is like the previous 30 or 40 years, we didn't get very many heavy rainfalls. In the 50s, 60s, early 70s, was a time when we barely had storms over 5 inches in that window of time. And that, you know, I guess it just lulled us into thinking we don't get those big storms. And then in 78, the switch just flicked in the other direction, and all hell has been breaking loose ever since.
It's good to know that that is proven out by facts and not just my own perception, because that's certainly the way that it seemed. So when it comes to, and real quick before we get to the break, and we'll take the break, and then we'll come back, talk about hurricane preparedness. How concerned are you about whatever it is that's coming this way with the weather and the flood watch and all of that?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's a dangerous situation, obviously. We'll just have to wait and see how it all officially plays out. But we're looking at widespread rains across the state of Louisiana of 3 to 5 inches. There can absolutely be some areas that see even more. I mean, this potential weather service, I saw some numbers even up to 10 inches in certain locations. I'm sure that'll just be some isolated pockets. But, this could really wreak havoc across this region. So we need to be on our A game for the next couple of days.
Somebody texting in, April showers bring May flowers. Yeah, it's not the April showers I'm worried about. It's the May showers I'm worried about that bring streets flooding and so forth. We're talking to Barry Keim, LSU climatologist. It's Hurricane Preparedness Week. We come back, we'll talk about cuts to NOAA. I see a tweet here from Neil deGrasse Tyson, whom we had on one time, saying weather and climate research funds are being chainsawed from NOAA's budget. So we'll talk about that and more, and the likelihood that the prediction by the NOAA of hurricanes or path or whatever could be, and safety of the area could be affected by cuts, with Barry Keim when we come back. Right now, 7:20, time for traffic, WWL. 7:25, Tuesday, May 6th. And it's the time of year where we're known for some heavy rainfall. Some of that's predicted between 7 o'clock tonight and 7 o'clock tomorrow night, I think, is the most anticipated period for that. Barry Keim, LSU climatologist, with us. Talk about Hurricane Preparedness Week. When it comes to the NOAA cuts, and I mentioned a tweet by Neil deGrasse Tyson, the astrophysicist, earlier about weather and climate research funds chainsawed from NOAA's budget. What are you hearing, Barry, and what is there going to be any palpable change, things that were available last year, not available this year, or are cuts going to really matter?
Well, the cuts are going to matter, certainly in the long term. We may not notice it in a big way this year, but maybe. We'll see. I mean, NOAA is basically cutting about 25 or 30% of its budget. And it's not going to be evenly distributed across NOAA. I mean, the research labs, forecast modeling, data acquisition, those areas are going to get hit particularly hard. And that is going to show up eventually in the accuracy of the forecasts and the ability to inform the public about what's actually happening. So there are definitely some issues on the horizon. And, obviously we just have to see how it all plays out. Just to give you a couple of examples, the pilots who fly the hurricane hunting airplanes, I believe they went from 10 pilots down to 7. Mm-hmm. So not a big deal, but let's just hope nobody gets sick during hurricane season. Because, as they're, sending people out and doing rotations, that could be a big problem.
When you look at the federal budget and how much money we spend, and I know you got to start somewhere, but it seems kind of silly when you look at what the hurricane hunter pilots, the specialized skill that they have and the information that they provide, it seems kind of silly to lay off a couple of them. Yes, no?
I agree totally. it's a big deal, and like I said, and they're hitting all the research labs where this is where the innovation happens to improve the forecast. I mean, you may have noticed some of us have noticed over the last several decades that the forecasting is getting better and better. We're able to predict landfall with much greater accuracy today than even, 15, 20 years ago. And even the intensity forecasts, while, we're lagging behind in some regards, the intensity forecasts are getting better and better, where we can predict, rapid intensification of storms and things of that nature. They're doing some amazing things, with hurricane forecasting and forecasting in general. But this is just going to slow us down by crippling all the research labs that have created all that innovation and would, more innovation moving forward. And then another issue, this is going to be a big issue even going into this season, is that they're putting out all these early retirements and inducing, paying people basically to retire early. But there's also a hiring freeze on. So the National Weather Service offices around the country, in particular the ones along the Gulf Coast, some are hit harder than others. I mean, the Baton Rouge, New Orleans office that covers, you know, Mississippi Gulf Coast, the attrition rate was pretty low there. So we're not going to be affected in any big way. The Lake Charles office, which oversees southwestern Louisiana, they've been hit pretty hard. And so they're grossly understaffed. And then over in Houston, the Houston office has been decimated. And, of course, there's a hiring freeze in place, so they can't replace any of these people. So going into hurricane season, you know, that whole Houston region, and there's a lot of people there. Mm-hmm. They're basically in harm's way without, a whole lot of infrastructure there in place to help inform, you know, which hospitals should evacuate if, things start coming unraveled. So
this would manifest
issues, I think, that could happen this year.
Manifest itself as well with evacuations, Barry, and notice and so forth?
Say that again, I'm sorry?
What evacuations, where officials trying to call an evacuation or not, knowing about intensification or path, et cetera, it could affect that directly this year?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. In places like Houston. Not so much here in the New Orleans area, but like I said, the Lake Charles region will be understaffed, and Houston is just decimated. So, and there's no way to hire people back right now to try and fill those positions. So there are definitely some problems around the Gulf Coast like that.
All right. Thank you, Barry. Let's hope it's a quiet hurricane season. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Eugene Green, New Orleans City Council member, about the homeless situation, Surge and Water Board, and more right now. Time for WWL First News.